Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of James, True Faith. In this session, we'll be looking at James chapter 5, verses 7 to 12. Faith patiently awaits Christ's return. Turn to Job chapter 1 for a moment. Job chapter 1 and verse 1, where it reads, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and he would send and invite their 3 sisters, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And so it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job did regularly. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' And so Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it.' And then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?' And so Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and the possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep of the and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still standing, another also came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed 3 bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you.' Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head. And he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." The testimony of Job. Hopefully, we will not have to go through what he did, but we could. His story is an example of patience in the midst of affliction. If you haven't turned there yet in your Bible, turn to James chapter 5 and verse 7 down to verse 12. The return of Christ. The New Testament's greatest truth after His death on the cross. We're called to wait for it patiently. Our text tells of two types of patience with different Greek words. First, there is patience with others or realities. Verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Makrothumeo is the word for patience. It speaks of being understanding. It speaks of being patient toward persons or promised results. The illustrations given by James are a farmer waiting for a crop to develop. You know, he plants it, waters it, and he's just waiting and waiting and waiting, trusting that it's going to eventually come up, but he's waiting on it because it hasn't shown yet. And God's prophets faithfully sharing what they may or may not get to experience personally. They're telling the good news. They're telling about the return of Christ, but they may die, pass from this life, and go to be with the Lord before that ever occurs, and many have. All the Old Testament prophets, and even the ones of the New Testament, they all came and they were gone. And Christ has not come back yet. But He will. And that's the patience of waiting for some promised results, or waiting for a person. In the same way, establish or strengthen your hearts. Jesus Christ is coming back. Second, there's patience with circumstances. There's patience waiting for things to happen and trusting that they're going to happen. But there's also patience with circumstances, or enduring. Look at verses 11 and 12. Indeed, we count them blessed to endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Hupomeno. This is patience towards things or towards circumstances. It's like Job and the outcome of his life after God's testing through Satan. What's the end of Job's story? Well, we looked at chapter 1, the first few verses, but go all the way to the other end of the book to chapter 42, beginning with verse 10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all of the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapak. In all the land were found no woman so beautiful as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for four generations. So Job died old and full of days. So what's the definition of patience? Well, it's accepting a difficult situation from God without giving him a deadline to remove it. Romans chapter 5. You turn there. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Huh? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 2 through 7. I mean, Paul's talking there about rejoicing in tribulations. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 through 7, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Listen, allow God to develop patience in you. Patience with persons and patience regarding circumstances. You give that some thought, and you have a great day.